And let us bow our heads once again. Lord, we come before you this morning to hear from your word, to learn from you, to know more about you. Not just so our heads can be puffed up with knowledge, but so that our hearts can be filled with life-transforming power. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers and the ladies that are in our midst who have mothers' hearts. We thank you for the influence that they would have had upon our lives. But Lord, today is also a call for mothers and ladies here to continue to be an influence upon the lives of children everywhere. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as you all know, is Mother's Day, a time when we pay a little more attention to our moms and thank them for all that they have done. It's also a time to remember the legacy of those moms who aren't with us anymore, and to be thankful for their love and influence that has shaped our lives today. Motherhood isn't easy. It can be just plain hard, at least so I'm told, but so very satisfying. One poem puts it this way: "Dear Lord, it's such a hectic day, with little time to stop and pray, for life's been anything but calm since you called on me to be a mom. Running errands, matching socks, building dreams with building blocks, cooking, cleaning, and finding shoes and other stuff that children lose, fitting lids on bottled bugs, wiping tears and giving hugs, a stack of last week's mail to read, so where's the quiet time I need? Yet when I steal a minute, Lord, just at the sink or ironing board, to ask the blessings of your grace, I see then in my small one's face that you have blessed me all the while, and I stop to kiss that little smile." Some of you ladies may not have children, but I'm here to say that whether you have children or not, if you are a member of the household of God, then you are a mother in God's eyes. And I'll give you a scripture to back up my claims. In Matthew 12, 46 to 50, Jesus was talking to the crowd, and his mother and his brother stood outside wanting to speak with him, when someone said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." Jesus replied to this man, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So ladies, whether you have children or not, if you do God's will and are part of the family of God, then you are a mother as far as God is concerned. And you have a responsibility to him for the children around you. There are ladies here this morning who have no biological children, but they have children who count on them. At the Arabic youth group, at our local schools, at our orphanage in Haiti, and in our neighborhoods. No matter who your children are or where they are, your influence as a mother is precious and is so necessary in our world today. And so today's message is not just to the mothers here, but it is to all the ladies who have a mother's heart. Your Christian influence can be life-changing to the children around you. Your words, your prayers, your time, your faith, and your example are what the youth of today need more now than ever. You may not even know it, but the younger generation looks to you for guidance, and they will copy your behavior. That's something one young mother had to learn the hard way. She liked to drive her car like it was a race car, and she would weave in and out of the traffic. Not only that, but she often had comments to make about other drivers. She didn't realize, though, that some little ears had been listening to her. Her little boy rode with her a lot. His car seat in the back didn't allow his 2-year-old eyes to see the road, but he could see his mom, feel the pitch of the car, and hear her words. One day, his mother had to put on the brakes very quickly. The car gave that familiar lunge to the front as the tires grabbed the road. And although he couldn't see what happened, he knew the squeal of the tires and the motion of the car. From the back seat came the words he'd heard so often in that situation. Stupid Dirk. need I say more? Children often imitate the behavior of those around them. They learn how to deal with the world, its problems and its joys, by looking to grown-ups, especially their moms and the mother figures in their lives. We all learn by imitation. And not only do we imitate bad behavior, we can also imitate good behavior, good traits, and good graces. And hopefully most of us here this morning can say that our mothers have given us good examples to follow and imitate. Probably like no other time in the history of the world, do our children and the children in our neighborhoods need the influence of godly women in their lives as they try to make sense of living in an ungodly world. In our scripture reading this morning, we heard about two women, Lois, a grandmother, and Eunice, a mother, who made a huge influence on a young man, their grandson and son, Timothy. Timothy was originally from Lystra, which is in modern-day Turkey. His mom was a Messianic Jew, meaning that she was a Jewish lady who had given her heart and her life to Jesus. And his dad was a Greek. The Apostle Paul likely met Timothy when Paul visited Lystra on his first ministry journey. And we know that they became close. Because in 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul calls Timothy his true son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy, his dear son. During his second missionary trip to Lystra, Paul invited Timothy to go with him on his journey, which he did. And we know from the Bible that he traveled with Paul to Macedonia, Achaia, Jerusalem, and Corinth. And he stayed with him a long time in Ephesus. We also know that when Paul was first thrown in prison, Timothy was right there and he visited him. This might be why, when Paul was imprisoned right before his execution, he asked that Timothy would visit him. And we know according to Hebrews 13:23 that Timothy even went to jail himself because of his faith. On one of Paul's trips, they went to Ephesus, and Timothy stayed behind to be the pastor. And that is why Paul wrote these two letters to Timothy to help him in his work there. Although Paul was Timothy's mentor, they really worked as a team in their God-given mission. Timothy was named as a co-writer in 6 books of the New Testament. They were ministry partners. They were good friends. So much so that we are told in our reading that Timothy cried when they were separated. This feeling was mutual because Paul wrote in Philippians 2:19 to 22, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." That is strong praise coming from the Apostle Paul. To him, Timothy was a true brother and a true son in the Lord. By now you may be wondering why I am talking so much about a young man named Timothy on Mother's Day. Well, here's why. Timothy was the person that he was because of the influence of his mother and his grandmother. If it wasn't for them, Timothy would never and could never be used by the Lord in such a powerful way. It was these women who had guided him, influenced him, and set an example to him, leading him eventually to become all that God intended him to be. Without the influence of these women in his life, Timothy would likely have lived a life without meaning and a life without purpose. And we all know what that can lead to. A life of trying to fill your heart with the things of this world, things which never satisfy, but always exact a heavy price. It was these women who had planted the seed of genuine faith in Timothy when he was young. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Paul knew Lewis and Eunice because he had visited their home. He knew they had a strong and a genuine faith. And he knew that it was because of their faith and their influence that Timothy was a man of faith who could be used so powerfully by the Lord. The Bible shows us that the influence of a mother is a truly powerful thing. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Often we aren't told the names of mothers in the Bible, but here we are told specifically who these women were and how they influenced Timothy's life. It is interesting that Timothy's father is never mentioned as being a positive influence on his son. In fact, it is likely that his father wasn't even a Christian. Timothy learned about the importance of faith in God through the example of these two ladies. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see how he learned what he knew about the Bible from them. There we read, but you should continue following the teachings that you learned. You know that they are true, because you trust those who taught you. Since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are also able to make you wise. And that wisdom leads to salvation through faith in Jesus. These two ladies, they had taken the time to teach Timothy the two greatest things anyone can teach their children: faith in God and the truths of the Bible. That's what all of our children need today more than ever. They don't need any more toys, any more gadgets, or any more sporting activities. They need Jesus. And they need the truth of God's word before it is too late. We have a whole generation out there who is searching, hungry for the things of God, and they don't even know God because no one has told them. We have children and young people destroying their lives by getting involved in things they think will fill the void that is within their soul, when it is only Jesus who can satisfy them and give them the peace and the purpose in their lives that they so desperately need. We have a generation growing up who has been taught that truth is subjective, that truth is whatever you choose it to be or want it to be. No wonder we have so many confused and hurting young people in our society. They need to hear the truth, the real truth, that Jesus loves them, that he wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to be their friend, be their strength when they are weak, their wisdom when they are confused, and their peace and their joy when they are brokenhearted. But who is going to be the messenger? Well, there is no one better equipped than you. Mothers, ladies with a mother's heart, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts, women with a heart for God, and women with a heart for the children around them. God needs you to be a godly influence, and so do the children of our world. Ladies, whether you know it or not, you have the power to influence the children around you. They will listen to you. They will watch you. They will see what your priorities are. They will see the importance of faith in your own life. And they will see how you apply the truths of the Bible to your life. When the troubles of this life hit, that's a good time to speak with the children around you about Jesus. And it's a really good opportunity to take the time to pray with them and to pray for them. Ladies, you have the God-given power to be a great influence on the lives of children, your own children and other people's children. You can't make someone else believe. but you can plant the seeds of faith in the next generation. As Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. In Deuteronomy, there's a verse known as the Shema, a verse many people have heard and that many people know. In fact, the Jewish people are taught to repeat it often. It says, the Lord your God is one, or God is God alone. And then follows, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. People know those verses, but you know what comes after it? This is what Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9 says. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Reminders about God were to be written and placed throughout the home. Reminders that God is God alone and the need to love Him completely. Those reminders were to be put up to teach the children about who God is. I truly believe personally that it's important to have scripture verses hung around our homes. They are there for our children and our grandchildren to read. And so hopefully that they will ask questions so that we can help them get to know the Lord. In our home, we try to read the children's Bible to our grandchildren, because the worst thing that I could ever imagine would be my grandchildren growing up and not knowing Jesus. If parents won't do it, grandparents and great-grandparents should. You know why? Because a life without Jesus is no life at all. Ladies, you have a special calling on your life. You are called to be a Christian influence on the children around you. You are called to a life of prayer for your children and all children everywhere. It's not an easy job, but it is one of the responsibilities and one of the joys that has eternal rewards. You may not think that you have much influence, but you do. Even your prayers are more powerful than you may know, because I believe that the heart of a mother is very close to the very heart of God. And God gives you this responsibility because He trusts you with it. So keep praying for your kids, no matter how old they are. You may not know this, but there is a patron saint of mothers, and her name is Monica. And she is remembered for one reason and one reason alone. She prayed for her son. A son who did not believe in Jesus early in life. A son who made many, many wrong decisions. Who did lots of things that his mom did not approve of. But she kept praying for him. She never gave up on him. While she was praying, he was carousing and studied philosophy and intellectualism, focusing his entire life on himself. But she kept praying. She kept being an example, and things began to change. He started listening to his mom, and more importantly, he started listening to God. Eventually, he gave his life to Jesus and served the Lord wholeheartedly all of his life. And he became known as St. Augustine. What a change. And all because of a praying mom. A mom who took God's call seriously to be a godly influence to her child. She did it, and so can you. As I close, I would like to read a little poem that I found on the meaning of the word mother. It says, once upon a memory, someone wiped away a tear. Held me close and loved me. Thank you, Mother dear. M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing a little older. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me.